It's The Takeaway, and I'm Al Jazeera Digital's Duarte Geraldino, in for Tanzina Vega. Good being with you this Monday. The coronavirus keeps spreading. The first two U.S. deaths from COVID-19 were confirmed over the weekend in Washington State. The virus has made its way to the East Coast now. New York City has confirmed its first case. The spread of the virus to cities, towns, and communities across the USA is inevitable. And that's according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. But President Trump is downplaying the risks. He has incorrectly compared coronavirus to the seasonal flu.
There's no reason to be panicked about. But when I mentioned the flu, I said, actually, I asked the various doctors, I said, is this just like flu? Because people die from the flu. And this is very unusual. And it is a little bit different, but in some ways it's easier, and in some ways it's a little bit tougher. But we have it so well under control. I mean, we really have done a very good job.
This kind of misinformation is dangerous. Experts warn it could confuse you, your neighbors, your coworkers, and the people you love. And that puts all of us at risk. So we want you to know not just how to protect yourself from the virus, but also how to protect yourself and your family from misinformation. First, let's get to the medical risks. Dr. Bill Schaffner is a professor of infectious diseases and preventative medicine at Vanderbilt University. Bill, welcome to The Takeaway.
Good to be with you, Duarte.
So what's the latest on the coronavirus?
Well, as you said, the coronavirus is indeed spreading, and it's starting to spread within the United States. We have contained it so far, but it's clear that it's escaping that containment and is popping up here and there. You know, part of our difficulty is that we haven't been able to test for the virus quite as extensively as we would like. As the test becomes more available, we in infectious diseases are going to be testing many more patients, and I expect we'll be finding more people positive here and there across the country.
We're now seeing cases in the U.S. that health experts describe as, quote, community spread. What does that term mean, and how does it change the situation?
Well, what community spread means is that we can't trace that individual case back to an importation from China or some other country. It means that the virus has gone from an importation to another person and maybe another person and yet another, and now that's the patient we have identified. So that it means the virus is circulating among us, hiding among all those other influenza cases, but we haven't been able to detect it.
When it comes to this virus, what are we seeing in other parts of the world that we're likely to see here in the USA?
Well, other parts of the world that have had imported virus have seen it spread in their countries, creating demand for medical services. And as a consequence, also, these countries, cities, and wherever the virus is, are using social distancing to try to prevent the spread of the virus. And what we mean is, don't go to crowded events where you are face-to-face with other people for prolonged periods of time, because that's how the virus gets from one person to another efficiently.
So we're likely to see more quarantines in the USA. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, I'm not so sure about how much people will be quarantined. There will be some of that, of course, but I think there will be recommendations that we avoid congregate gatherings. Why don't we not go to the movies but watch some television? Don't go wandering around shopping at the mall. Observe your religious services and be reverent at home rather than going to our church or our temple, etc.
So how do we best prepare for a potential outbreak in the USA?
I think it's prudent for all of us, from the business point of view and also from the personal family point of view, to sit down and have a conversation. What's our plan C, the coronavirus plan? How can we function without coming to work or staying at home a lot? What is it that we would have to do? Not go to religious services personally. Make sure that Uncle Tom, who needs his medicines, has a 2 to 3 week supply. on the business side, how many of us can work from home so we don't have to commute and get in face to face? Trying to think through those kinds of decisions in advance.
Thank you so much. Dr. Bill Schaffner is professor of infectious disease and preventative medicine at Vanderbilt University. Thanks, Bill.
My pleasure.
And Yasmeen Abutaleb is also here with us. She's a health policy reporter at the Washington Post. She's going to help you and me better understand how the Trump administration is handling this historic moment when a virus is threatening not only your health, but also the national economy. Great to have you, Yasmeen.
Thanks for having me.
So you've done a lot of reporting on the coronavirus. How is the administration responding to this public health crisis?
I think we saw kind of a confusing week where the administration was trying to gain better control of the response. Before this week, Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar was running a coronavirus task force. And then this week you saw President Trump put Vice President Pence in charge of that. But then the vice president appointed a woman named Debbie Birx from the State Department, who is a doctor who's run a lot of the HIV and AIDS global response. So that was widely heralded. But now you have this sort of confusing structure where you've got three people who all seem to be in charge of the response. And so that's been very confusing.
Has the White House released any, quote, misinformation about the coronavirus?
I think on Wednesday, on Tuesday, you saw a series of very confusing statements from various officials. So you saw a top official at the CDC say, we're asking the American public to prepare for the expectation that this might be bad. And then shortly after that, you saw Trump's economic advisor, Larry Kudlow, go out there on TV and say, this is mostly contained. And then when President Trump went and spoke the next day, he said, you know, maybe we'll see one or two more cases. And then later in the week said it will miraculously disappear, which is contradictory to what his public health officials have been saying.
But each of those voices had a different sort of goal. One was the economic advisor, one was dealing with the health situation. Do you think the perspectives from which they come are influencing the messaging?
I think that's absolutely true. We know from our reporting that President Trump and some of his closest advisors are very worried about the economic fallout that's come from this outbreak. You know, global markets have tanked. U.S. markets have plummeted over the last couple of weeks. Last week, they had their worst week since 2008. So there is a lot of concern that there is going to be a long-term economic downturn as a result of this, and that could be a threat to the president's reelection.
So what other consequences of this misinformation could there be?
I think there's a lot of confusion among the public about what they should be preparing for and how bad it's going to get in the U.S. I mean, we do have U.S. public health officials and state health departments reporting as soon as they find confirmed cases. So we saw a number of cases all over the country pop up over the weekend and the first death in the U.S. But there are a lot of conspiracy theories out on the internet right now that this is a hoax or, you know, that it's a, you know, I guess I won't repeat them, but there are a lot of conspiracy theories about the threat of the virus and how it came about. And I think a lot of confusion about just how bad people should expect it to get here.
So what type of plan has the administration put forward to combat the coronavirus?
So we're still sort of waiting to see how it's put out. But a couple of weeks ago, the administration imposed its first federal quarantine authority in more than 50 years. So anyone who was returning from Wuhan, China, the epicenter of the outbreak, had to be put in federal quarantine for 2 weeks, which, you know, early studies showed was about the incubation period for the virus. And then people returning from sort of outbreak centers are put into federal quarantine. What's a bit unclear is how this is going to work as the number of cases grows. You know, does the U.S. And do state and local departments have the capacity to quarantine lots and lots of people? There are people who are put into self-quarantine who are at a little bit lower risk of the virus, who maybe traveled through other parts of mainland China. And that means they're at their homes, but that does also mean they could spread it to family members or people that they're living with.
So there's so much happening right now. You know, on the one hand, if President Trump gets this right and everyone is protected, this could be a huge boost for his reelection. If he gets it wrong, it could be horrible. How is this affecting the way President Trump is thinking about the upcoming election, the coronavirus?
I think what we've seen is that President Trump has very much sought to downplay the risk of the virus over the last week. He has changed his language slightly since the middle of last week. Over the weekend, he said, you know, yes, we might see a couple of more cases, but he is seeking to downplay it much more than his other top health officials are, who have remained fairly realistic since the start that the U.S. was going to see more cases, that it's contained for now, but the number of cases is going to increase. And now that we see greater testing capacity, the thought among infectious disease experts is, you know, this has probably been circulating for several weeks and just was going undetected. So we're probably going to see a big jump in the number of cases as we increase the amount of testing.
So, you know, why did President Trump put Vice President Mike Pence in charge of the outbreak rather than appointing someone with more expertise in managing public health crises? What message was he trying to send by putting Pence at the lead?
I think that's a great question. I know the thought or the fear among some people is that by putting the vice president in charge as opposed to a scientist or a public health professional, that they were seeking to balance sort of the public health aspect and this coordination among agencies that you need, in which you do need someone with authority in the White House, but also that political considerations were going to play a big role in this. So my colleagues and I reported last week that Vice President Pence faces this sort of dual challenge, you know, assuring the American public that he will be fully transparent about the threat of the virus and how it's sort of manifesting itself in the U.S., but then also placating his boss, who is very concerned about the threat this could pose to his reelection and to the impact on the markets. And so we sort of have to wait and see how that's all going to play out. But we do also know that the vice president is routing all communication about the virus through his office now. And, you know, we've seen in past administrations, they have sought to have a sort of central communication control system. So that's not totally abnormal, but we'll have to wait and see just how transparent they're going to be with this new system in place.
And Yasmin, briefly, how can people protect themselves from the kind of misinformation from both the Trump administration and from other sources that could hurt you?
I think the key is to make sure you're listening to scientists and doctors when you're listening to people talk about the threat of the disease. I think you want to make sure you're reading reputable news sources, not sort of picking up conspiracy theories that might be making their way around social media that has sort of an unclear source. And I think that the best thing you can do is to just try to listen to the experts on this, people who have spoken before in infectious disease outbreaks, and to make sure you're looking at reputable, trusted news sites and science outlets and studies and journals, as opposed to picking up theories that are making their way around social media.
Thank you so much, Yasmin. Abu Talib is a health policy reporter at Washington Post. Thank you for joining us. And we are committed to continuing reporting on this issue. Tweet us with your thoughts and questions. We're at The Takeaway, and you can reach me at Duarte Geraldino.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.